Hark, the bardic paladin, who sings and plays again. He tells the tales of glory, and weaves a magic story. He'll join you at your table, and ask you to share a fable. Heroes of humble origin, villains who must be fought again. No matter their skill or prowess, the people in life are countless. So we pray you heed our request. Enjoy this tale of sidekicks and sidequests.
Episode 124, Finnegan the Brave, the Elemental Farrier. Welcome to Sidekicks and Sidequests, the Dungeons & Dragons podcast that helps to put humans back into humanity and breathe life into your campaign NPCs with backstory and bravado. That's right, we're building a world, one character at a time. I am your host, Kurt Krenwelge, the Bardic Paladin, and I'll be joining Allison Coons and Ryan Timpty's table in the Levitating Platter. Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Sidekicks and Sidequests, the best unofficial Dungeons & Dragons podcast, in my humbly biased opinion. I've got an awesome pair of guests for you this week, but before I get to my guests, you know I have to leave you in suspense with the first ad read. This episode is brought to you by my first sponsor, Plus1 EXP, and their brand new monthly subscription service for RPG Zine Club. Of course, you've heard me talk about this service. It's a monthly subscription service featuring fresh zines from emerging and expanding creators across the globe. Our way of inviting GMs, players, and zine lovers everywhere to invest more intentionally in the creative community. It's crowdsourced support without crowdfunding. You're getting two 20 to 44 page Staddle Sitch zines. You can pick from story zines, adventure zines, or both. You have the ability to get print and digital or just digital. There is an exclusive Clubhouse Discord channel within Plus1 EXP Discord community. You're getting the best prices. You have the ability to manage your subscription portal, and you can add products or change your information. You have the ability to change your frequency of how often you're wanting to be receiving new zines and titles, and you can get what you want. In fact, if you miss something cool and you want to get it, you can add it to your recent month's order in order to get a copy of it. You get a special surprise gift each February after your first anniversary. Again, you're getting access to interviews, how to play videos, and special content for Zine Club titles. And if you get one of our RPG Zine Club passports, you can redeem it for a slice of pizza at a convention that Tony's attending if you fill that passport up. Again, we're sourcing the best voices from across the RPG design community. We curate zines based on the community interest and feedback to help you discover your new favorite creators. It has DIE focus because, you know, Plus1 is committed to championing diversity, inclusion, and equity in projects. Creators with diverse experiences make our community better. So Zine Club prioritizes creating equity for all our creators. Your subscription will allow Plus1 EXP to more heavily invest in print partners and provide them with potentially life-changing support by consolidating scores or hundreds of purchases as the club grows. So I could sit here and read more and more, and I think the best source to learn more about this awesome program to sign up for yourself is if you go to the website rpgzine.club. Again, rpgzine.club. It's part of the website plus1exp.com, which again, if you're going to go on that site and buy yourself a beard balm, a lip balm, RPG for beards or whatnot, and you're looking for an affiliate code to use on that site, be sure to use the code Randolph at checkout to save some coin on your purchase at no extra cost to you. Again, the code is Randolph at checkout on the website, plus1exp.com, and make sure you check out the brand new monthly subscription service for rpgzine.club. All right. Well, without further ado, I turn the microphones over and I ask, who is it that I am speaking with and what is it that you do?
I am Allison Koontz, and I am one half, or I don't know, 30% of the kids' table.
And my name is Ryan Timpty, and I am the other part of the kids' table.
Yes, wonderful. And so are you able to tell us what it is that the kids' table is? Because I know I first came across y'all through, I guess, the reels and stuff like that over on Instagram, but you got a whole YouTube channel and stuff like that too. So what is it that the kids' table is?
So we started the kids' table. Ryan and I are both parents, and we were already friends before we got this idea. We both have a lot of experience working with kids, not just our own children, but lots of other kids in our lives in various ways. And we both had become fans of D&D and played in the same D&D game. When we noticed that there was kind of a gap in opportunities for kids to be involved in D&D live play. So we took ourselves and another parent friend of ours and invited some of the kids in our life to play at the table with us. And we recorded those sessions not really knowing at the time what we were going to do with it. So it's evolved a little bit since then. And Ryan, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the kids' table is our attempt to bring live play or actual play D&D to a kid setting. We both enjoy what kids bring to the world, and we both think that it's really important to find entry points for kids into some of these things. And D&D and tabletop playing bring a lot to the world and to kids. So we're sort of excited to play around with that concept and talk more about what it means to help kids sort of lean into this space.
And kind of along the way, we started with just the, well, not just, but we started with the main part of what we do, which is the actual play campaign that we filled with three kids and three adults. And then along the journey, we discovered that there were a lot of other parents who were involved in, you know, different chats and groups online that were wanting to get their kids involved in D&D or just children in their lives, but not really knowing how, or were hitting some speed bumps, or were just kind of doubting their own ability to do that. So we've also started making some videos that we share on Instagram and YouTube for tips for playing D&D with kids. And we're starting to record some podcasts that will be more about the benefits of D&D for children and addressing some of those hurdles to encourage and support adults to bring more kids to the table.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know that one of our Patreon supporters is the illustrious Nicholas Cardarelli, who runs the Raised on D&D podcast. So I'm sure if he hasn't already had a conversation with the both of you, that he would love to talk and learn more and get these experiences, especially this concept. Not that it's necessarily niche or novel, but you know, it is, you know, every parent wants to be able to play D&D with their kids and like have these grand epic adventures. But yeah, admittedly, it can be a little daunting, a little bit challenging. So, you know, what's that experience been like, you know, seeing, well, I guess getting over the hurdle of like the idea of like, hey, there's a microphone or there's a camera in front of you recording you for the world to see you playing your character in this story. But just seeing the kids' perspective and them lining up and, you know, coming up with the solutions or the strategies to win the day.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch, actually. You can sort of see it over the arc of the series. The first couple of episodes, the kids are sort of tentative and they're not really sure what's going on. They're into it, but they're, you know, it's a new space and it's a new thing, and they're not exactly sure what to do. And then in the more recent episodes, you can see their personalities really coming out through their characters. It's really fun to see them inhabiting what they're doing. Like, for instance, my son Beckett is one of the players, and he's 8, And at the time that we recorded this, he was six, but he insisted that his character Six Tails is 11. And anytime somebody in the world is not like treating him like an 11-year-old, he shuts it down. It's been really funny to watch him sort of live into this character that he created, that he came up with. And that's one of the fun things about playing it as a group too. We were really excited to have a diverse group of ages. So parents and the little kids, but we also have an older teenager in the group too. And watching the way that she, her name's Alice, so carefully brings the kids into the setting and helps them with the rules and helps sort of guide them when they're going down one track and they should really be going down a different track. It's that sort of team element has been really cool to watch.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I hope to be able to watch the kids' table and get those ideas and inspirations myself. So then that way I can sit my wife and my son down and be like, all right, dad's going to run some D&D now and let's get some friends and family involved. And, you know, then we can have our own epic story, just like y'all have been doing. And just so I understand and I'm clear. So, you know, when you were both, you know, the stay-at-home parents and you had this time to record this. So is there new content that's being produced now, or you're just working off of material that you've already recorded and you're just kind of splicing it out into episodes and, you know, delivering it, you know, piece by piece, as it were?
Okay, I'll start. So we had, we filmed the campaign before. I had mentioned to Kurt kind of before we jumped on the recording, I moved across the country. So we filmed it all before I moved. And that's why the difference in ages that we mentioned earlier. But then we had the idea to take those episodes, which we actually filmed in like 1 hour installments or maybe 90 minute installments. And we knew that was just way too long if we were hoping to get a family audience. You know, our ideal would be that like families are watching this together, like adults and kids and teenagers all together. So we knew that parents tend to like more bite-sized pieces for kids. So we have been breaking down those 60 to 90 minute episodes into 15 to 20 minute episodes. And I had the idea and the audacity to tell Ryan that he needed to add animations to it. So Ryan has been incredibly learning how to animate and doing a fantastic job using kind of a kid's art style. And you'll notice as we go through the episodes that he's like learning super cool new tricks. Like every episode, he comes up with something new and amazing to kind of bring life to the videos, because I thought for kids' attention spans, they really needed to not just have a static image of kids sitting around a table talking, but to kind of have it come to life a little bit. We don't animate the whole thing because we still appreciate the benefits of theater of the mind for kids. And then, as I mentioned, all of our like DM with kids tips and the podcasts and stuff like that, that's all new content that we're generating kind of as we go. So it's a mix.
Very cool. Yeah, well, I mean, especially with the families on both coasts, it'd be interesting to see some sort of, you know, also showcase that element of families wanting to play, but maybe utilizing new technological means if you had like some sort of secondary campaign that was like, oh, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast and they get together for a game. But then, you know, then you'd have the eternal struggle of the timing and the time zones that you'd be working with. So maybe some sort of like a time-centered mishmash show or something like that. That'd be kind of funny.
Love that.
That's a good idea.
Well, of course, you know, this podcast, you know, is all about Dungeons & Dragons. So I think it goes without saying that the next question, fairly easy, but do you currently or have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons before?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yes, I played one time just like visiting a friend in college and he introduced me to it. I think it was Pathfinder and it was like kind of a one-off thing and I kind of didn't really want to do it and it was really complicated to make the character sheet and everything. But then we just played like one time for maybe 2 or 3 hours and then I was visiting that friend from states away. And then afterwards, I just kind of kept thinking about that game and really wanting to play it again. So I kind of found myself just pursuing other opportunities to play D&D. And then when I got to know Ryan, I thought that we both were kind of nerdy people and I thought he might enjoy it. We both enjoy storytelling and writing. So I kind of encouraged him to get into it too. And then, you know, somehow manipulated him to be the DM. So Ryan and I have played campaigns with him as the DM and another friend of ours as the DM. And we're still playing a campaign technically, although we've kind of been on break for the last few months. So yeah, we've played lots of D&D.
That was a good answer.
And your experience with D&D, Mr. Ryan, I know we're having to contend, as I said, with the time zones, with the mishy-mashy, wibbly-wobbly of time. But I want to make sure you get your answer in there, too. So what about you with getting your start in D&D?
Yeah, I mean, as Allison said, it was all her. I'm a big video game nerd. RPGs are my favorite type. I really appreciate the storytelling, but I was never really into tabletop until Allison and I, you know, she invited me over one night. Her husband DM'd. And it was super fun. And yeah, I've been telling stories with kids for 20 years. So I've got, you know, that storytelling cred under my belt. So it sort of was a natural fit. It was really fun to be able to inhabit one character. And then when they sort of roped me into DMing to play multiple characters at the same time. And so that was what, 6 years ago that you introduced me to D&D, something like that. And it's been
probably
great.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, as the name of the podcast is kind of the dead giveaway of these next two questions here, but we like to ask on this podcast, who happens to be your favorite NPC or sidekick character, whether they be from, you know, an RPG, other video game, movie, film, television, etc., and why is this sidekick, this NPC, your favorite?
All right. So my character, I had mentioned this to Ryan earlier, is arguably a sidekick. I firmly believe she's a sidekick because she was a sidekick until recently. It's Ahsoka Tano from Star Wars. I've been a huge fan of hers for over a decade, probably. I've been a big Star Wars nerd and fan throughout my life. And she was a sidekick, a true sidekick, until very recently when Disney decided to give her own show. But I always really liked her because she was kind of the first one that I can think of anyway, who noticed that it wasn't really strictly the light side and the dark side, as in the Jedi had everything right and the Sith or the Empire had everything wrong, but that there were issues on both sides. And she kind of decided that she needed to make her own way and had the courage to stand up and speak out against the wrongs that were happening. And just kind of forge her own third path, which I always really admired as a person who has trouble, you know, kind of speaking up, speaking my mind. I've always really looked up to Ahsoka.
For me, mine, in thinking about this, you know, the first one that comes to mind is the character of Gildan from Horizon Forbidden West. I'm a huge fan of the Horizon series, the two games so far, and I hope there's more. The setting is really cool. I love the character of Aloy. And Gildan is a character that appears twice, once in DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn, and then again for Horizon Forbidden West. And he's a sort of dopey guy. She finds him both times delving through ruins, sort of the ruined civilization of Earth. And he's this happy-go-lucky, just sort of dopey guy. Who through the story you sort of obliquely figure out, like, doesn't really have a lot of friends, doesn't really have a lot of people that he connects with, and he's a really cool, what I like about him most is what a cool foil he is for Aloy, for the main character, who's also this loner, but sort of encounters the world in this really hard way. And he, even though he's all by himself too, encounters the world with joy and with excitement about, you know, what's behind every corner. And I just love both of the times that he appears, this sort of softness that he brings to Aloy's character, to the main character, and that he sort of brings this out of her in the two delves that they go on. I really love characters like that, that bring something new to the main character and to the main story. Cause you know, you're following one or a handful of characters for hours and hours at a time, and you're getting to know them through their eyes and through the things that happen to them. But what I really enjoy is when another character can sort of, I don't know, shave off a rough edge or reveal a hidden truth or bring something new to that that characterization that you wouldn't see otherwise. Yeah.
Awesome. And then likewise, to go along with that question, what happens to be one of your favorite side quests, either from RPG, video game, movie, film, television, etc., D&D campaigns? Why is this side quest your favorite? Why is this B plot element your favorite?
The first one that comes to my mind is from our Ryan and my homebrew campaign. So I don't know if no one else would be able to relate to this except for our friends around the table. But Ryan ended up having to create, probably mostly on the fly, like an entire political system of a town that we came upon, and the government system was probably 30 different masked lords, so no one knew their true identity. And our characters got so down a rabbit hole in this town, trying to figure out who these masked lords were and what their motivations were and who they were voting for in an upcoming campaign and who they were blackmailing. And then we, you know, came to find out that the people they were voting for were both terrible people who shouldn't be allowed to run the town because they will, you know, oppress the people in the town. So we, of course, had to get involved without getting caught. And it ended up being something that Ryan was probably planning on us only addressing for like maybe 15 minutes in the game. But I think it was probably like at least a good 4 sessions with multiple Excel spreadsheets being sent back and forth between the players and plotting and trying not to let Ryan know what we were plotting. And we ended up having like a whole show that we put on with magic and finding different connections we had with artisans in the town to come and sell their baked goods or play music or different kinds of things, to have a rally to try to give support to a politician who would do a better job leading the town that was in the midst of this power vacuum. So it's just an example of one of those times in D&D where the DM probably did not plan at all for the players to get as sidetracked as they did, but it ended up being a beautiful and really fun part of the campaign.
I tell you, there's no better feeling as a DM than when you end one session one night and then come back, I don't know, like a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks later for the next session. And you sit down and you're like, I've got all these notes prepared and I'm like, I'm ready for the next part. And your players have, unbeknownst to you, been emailing back and forth like every day for the previous 3 weeks. And like present you this whole plan. You're like, okay, great, we're doing this now. Like I was not prepared for this, but we are going down this rabbit hole because this is what you want to do and this is how you're engaged. It was a real fun moment.
It was probably really good practice for playing D&D with kids.
Yeah, it was good practice for playing D&D with kids, because, you know, kids want to go down a lot of different rabbit trails, and figuring out like the balance between herding them back towards the main plot and recognizing that sometimes the rabbit trail is more interesting is a hard balance, but it's a good thing to learn. For me, the side quest that comes to mind is one from Dragon Age Inquisition, the Deep Roads quest, where the characters sort of go off on this rabbit trail that really has nothing to do with the main plot of the game, but is more a vehicle for the developers to sort of to do world building and to expand the Dragon Age setting further into sort of the building blocks of the world that they've created. Like you go, the characters go down through this like 6 or 7 level dungeon and finally figured out that the dwarven race was maybe not created the same way as the rest of the races. And like, maybe there's this like thing in the middle of the planet. It's wild. And it's turned slightly sci-fi at the end, which is really fun for a fantasy setting.
Hmm.
You know, I love geology, I love geography, I love like that kind of stuff. But I also love that they created this way to learn more about the world that you're playing in and make it feel more real without having to like delve into the like main plot or the things that you're, you know, supposed to be doing. I mean, in video games, like I'm totally the guy that does all of the other stuff before you do the main plot for the main quest, because it's so much more interesting. So that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And then the way that we end and round out the personal interview section of the podcast is we ask the question, what are you passionate about and why?
I guess I would say that along the lines with our work with the kids table, I'm passionate about kids being and teenagers being taken seriously but not treated like adults. That doesn't mean just treating them like adults, but allowing them to be kids, to be teenagers, and everything that entails, giving them a safe space to be who they truly are. I've done a lot of work with teenagers in the past, and one exhausting part of being a teenager is having to have a different mask on depending on who you're with during different parts of the day all the time. So I believe in giving them a safe space where they can be who they truly are and be valued and supported and encouraged and rejoiced in just for who they truly are. And I think that D&D is actually a really great vehicle, one of other options as well, to give kids and teenagers that kind of a space.
Yeah, echoing Allison, I, you know, my former career, I worked with kids for 20 years, and I still, with my own children, I'm volunteering in the schools all the time. And my big passion is kids are people. Kids are full people, fully human on their own. There's this sort of prevailing view in society, like pick an institution, that kids at best are adults in training, and that our job is to like prepare them for the world. And at worst, kids are subhuman, are not fully human, and their humanity is based on their utility. They become more human the older they get, and the more they can do, and the more they can contribute. And that's just, to me, it's just a terrible way to view kids and childhood in general. Kids are fully human just as they are. And that doesn't mean that they don't have things to learn. And that doesn't mean that we don't have a role to play in teaching them. But what it does mean is that they also have a role to play in teaching us. And that, you know, like one of the central questions shouldn't be, you know, if you could give advice to your 5-year-old self, your 10-year-old self, what would you say? You know, I hear that a lot from TED Talks and from finance guys. Like, you know, I'd tell my 10-year-old self to invest in Apple, or, you know, get that finance degree earlier or something. And I think the more important question is, what would your 5-year-old self say to you if you could talk to them? Oof. What is it that you as an adult have? Yeah, right. What if as an adult, have you lost, or have you forgotten, or that you need to be reminded of? And that's why I love working with kids. Like they help me remember what it means to be a more fully complete human.
It's like the two great movies that I can think of that kind of speak to that. It was the 1990s Hook. You know, where Robin Williams as an older Peter Pan is having to reconnect with his, you know, fantastical younger, you know, self from Neverland. And then I guess the Bruce Willis movie, the kid movie where he like his kid version self comes to him when he's an adult. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of those are great. Yeah. That the Hook, especially, like that's such a great film. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Might be some inspiration for the kids table. Who knows?
Ooh, sure. Pirates. I like where your head's at.
All right. Well, now that we've made it through the personal interview section, let's go ahead and head into some NPC creation. And NPC creation is brought to you by you, the podcast audience, and our patrons from Patreon. So now is the time in the show where we give a shout out to our comfortable patrons and above with a loud hurrah. So to you, Katie Downey, our queen, Goblin Katie, as well as our other wealthy level patrons, Anson Jablinski, Nicholas Cartarelli, and good old mom and dad Krenwogi, we say cheers. Again, these folks donate at least $2 or more a month, which means they get to add an element of chance to our random tables, which I hope we get to use here today. So if you want to learn more details about the Patreon and the like, there's a couple places you can go to find out. You can go to the show notes below. You can go to my podcast website or just go directly to patreon.com/sidekicksandsidequests to learn more about our accommodations and see what awaits for you in the levitating platter. Help us to build and expand our operations in this demiplane and worlds beyond. Yeah, now is the part in the show where we get to make up some characters. And when we have more than one guest on the show, I usually leave it to their prerogative. We haven't done it yet where we've kaijued an NPC before, where like each guest is contributing a half. Most times what ends up happening is we make like a pair of characters, and you know, you might have an idea of like, oh, this is the relationship these characters should have, or it's something that you might want to discover along the way. So I'm just kind of curious, as we begin our NPC creation process, where does your heart lead you? What does it tell you that we're going to be doing here today?
I'm good with us each making our own, although the kaiju idea is hilarious.
The kaiju idea is kind of hilarious, actually.
So, I mean, do you want to test new waters and try doing that where maybe we're trading roles back and forth and collaborating all together to create a singular NPC? Or, you know, it is perfectly viable to make twice the number of NPCs, which we love doing, because you could get some really interesting dynamics off of the pair as well.
You decide.
Why don't we
Allison
try a new adventure and try to kaiju one?
Both guests, for the first time on this podcast, season 5, here we go, a brand new thing. So both guests are going to take turns rolling dice, and together they're going to work to create a whole brand new NPC. So are we going to follow the same kind of structure where we're trading back and forth between the roles? And obviously in the parts where it's like more free form, where it's discussion, you can just kind of talk and figure out those parts. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Okay. So then we like to begin with determining the name of the character. And the way we do that is we get a D20, and that's what we roll. We roll a D20 and we get a name. So whoever would like to begin.
Allison,
okay,
start.
I'll start. I got a 12.
12. Okay. Your answer was provided by previous guest Benjamin Huffman, Finnegan the Brave.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Excellent. We're off to a great start. And now, after that, we need to determine the ancestry, the race, the background of this character. This will be a D100 or a 2D10 roll. So who is Finnegan the Brave? Let's see.
Okay. 2D10, I got an 18.
18. Okay, interesting. All right. So this would mean that Finnegan the Brave is some sort of elemental. So from here, my clarifying notes, any kind. That could be a Zorn, Fire Newt, Miramods, Archons, Frost Salamanders, anything from Ravnica. Basically, like, we're imagining like some sort of elemental dude named Finnegan the Brave. So since you rolled the 2D10s, What kind of elemental creature sort of speaks to you?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I mean, I immediately go to that Pixar movie about the elements and the water dude, but like, I'm an earth guy.
Right.
I say earth elemental, some sort of earth elemental.
Okay. Finnegan the Brave, the earth elemental. Okay. All right. I dig that. Dig. All right. We need to now determine the job or role in society that Finnegan the Brave, the earth elemental, has. So now we'll get to roll just a regular
D10. A D10. Okay. Seven.
Seven. Okay. Your answer was provided by previous guest Mike Christensen, aka Super Geek Mike of YouTube, a farrier. So someone who works with horses.
That's a very interesting career for an earth elemental.
Brilliant. I love it.
And then let's see, the next thing we get to roll dice for is the age range of the character. So how old is Finnegan the Brave, the earth elemental farrier? This is a D8 roll.
Okay, D8. I get a one.
Child. So very apt and perfect. So we have a child age earth elemental named Finnegan the Brave that is a farrier. So now comes the part where it's more freeform. So with all these factors we've already figured out, describe the physical appearance of Finnegan the Brave.
Okay. Finnegan is obviously made of earth, but I would say he's kind of rocky earth, mossy earth. He's got some little saplings growing out of his back, maybe starting to grow a little moss on his face, and very proud of it. He brushes it every day to try to make sure that people notice.
Yeah. Ryan, do you have any notes to that? Like, does anything else strike you about, you know, these details, maybe something with the farrierness of him?
So if he's going to be a farrier, these saplings on the back have got to be apple saplings, so that, you know, when he gets up close to the horses, they can be nuzzling in those little saplings, looking for apple blossoms, looking for apple buds. I'd also say, I feel like I remember that farriers mostly do like the horseshoeing, right? So let's say that one of his arms is less hand shaped and more club shaped, just for like that, you know, working metal into horseshoes and, you know, fixing horseshoes to hooves sort of job.
Hmm. Is he strictly a two-armed creature, or are we thinking multiple arms? I want to say like a farrier, like the certain tool, like, you know, scrapes off some of the nail of the hoof. So is it like he has like a really razor sharp, like a rocky appendage that's like scraping off some of that nail and getting the muck and stuff out if he's replacing horseshoes and whatnot?
Yes.
Okay. I think we do that. He's got, you know, he's made up of earth, but he's also made up of different types of rock, different types of maybe metal that you would find in the earth. So I think just depending on whatever that horse needs at the moment, that type of element can come to the front of his appendage. So either it's like a sharp piece of obsidian if he needs to cut something away, or like a really strong, larger rock if he needs to hammer something in. I think like he's kind of got all his tools in his body at ready at will, rather than kind of needing to bring forged tools like maybe a human or a dwarf would bring to the job.
Except he's a kid. So I think that the added element of surprise is sometimes he's not sure what's going to come out, if it's going to be that sharp piece of obsidian or if it's going to be like pumice. And so instead of scraping at the hoof, he's like giving it a buff. And so, like, you know, he's a kid, so he's still learning how to get that stuff out.
Love it.
Okay. Very cool. And then let's see, if we had to describe Finnegan the Brave with three adjectives, what three adjectives would you use? Is brave just like an ironic sort of thing thrown on his name, or is he in fact a brave person?
I think that anybody that works with horses needs to be a little bit brave. They also need to be empathetic, because horses definitely sense if you're a horse person or not, and if you are the boss or if you're not the boss, and they definitely will treat you as such. So I think there's maybe, I would say, compassion for a second adjective. Ryan, you want to throw in the third?
I'll say curious. I love curious kids, and I feel like any kid that's going to be around horses and the way that horses, you know, move and snort and sniff, he's gonna want to know more about these horses.
Okay, and maybe, you know, just continuing on with the free form thing. Not that everything in the backstory of the character, the NPC, has to be nailed down, because obviously the idea is that we're giving this NPC to the world, and, you know, dungeon masters and player characters can tweak the stories as need be. But maybe just kind of like in a more general sense, is that are you inspired with, you know, the naming convention of like why this earth elemental is called Finnegan the Brave? Because, you know, that doesn't sound like a very elemental name. So is this like an orphaned earth elemental that was just adopted by a town and was like, hey, you're really good at making like really hard stones and other materials just kind of appear on you. The horses like you. So sure, you can apprentice to the old ailing farrier in town and work with him, kind of a thing. A Superman, you know, Kal-El adopted by the Kent family and is like, oh, I'm just here and I'm just going to be a farrier. And this is my life now. And everyone's like, that's a weird kid.
I think he gave himself the honorific, the Brave.
Yeah. Love it.
Maybe when he came to this town as a young child looking to find his way in the world, and they said, oh, you know, maybe you can have a place here. What's your name, kid? Of course he says Finnegan the Brave, because that's who he is in his mind, or that's who he was at the moment that he was asked.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so, okay, getting a little bit of a picture solidified. So now we get to go back to some dice rolling. So I believe it was Ryan who rolled last. So this one we'll get to break up into two. So Allison will now get to roll for a category, because we want all of our NPCs to have some kind of valuable or cool thing on them. So Allison, go ahead and roll me a D4 so we can figure out what category of a valuable item or thing we're dealing with.
Okay, I got a one.
Okay, so this will be a physical item of some sort. So now, Ryan, roll a D6 and let's figure out what valuable item Finnegan the Brave has.
That is a 4.
4. Okay. Your answer was provided by previous guest Kevin J. James. Enchanted seeds.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, what's the deal with these?
Maybe that's how he keeps those apples always growing, and, you know, the trees on his back don't go through seasons of fruit and seasons where they don't have fruit, but he's got to always get those horses calm and distracted while he does his work.
Yeah, I'm with that.
I was going to say, hopefully, you know, he doesn't drop the bag of seeds and then kind of like the bag of beans situation, like a giant beanstalk just grows up and suddenly finds himself encountering a bunch of cloud giants.
Oh, that's definitely going to happen at some point.
Okay, then. Yeah, enchanted seeds, a bag of beans, magic item, who knows, could be interspersed with both. Okay, I can dig that. And now we get to the part where we have to come up with a side quest. So what is going to be the particular quest that Finnegan the Brave would be willing to recruit or hire player characters to go and do? So if you're inspired at this point, you can kind of like work together to come up with it. Or if you want to roll the last dice, it would be a D12 as the final dice to roll.
I'll roll a dice unless Ryan's got an idea.
No, go for it, Allison. Do that and then we can riff on it.
All right. I rolled another one. Three ones in this character creation.
Okay. your answer, and you can tell me if you want a reroll, because sometimes, you know, we have answers in here that just, you know, it just doesn't work, but we'll see. So this side quest is suggested by previous guest Brady Effler that says, carry my grandmother to the market. She's in a backpack. If we're already figuring out in the lore of Finnegan the Brave that, you know, he is a adopted member of this community, it stands to reason that maybe perhaps his grandmother isn't with him, unless we're going to co-opt this idea of like, oh, she's somehow part of the trees that are growing out of my back or something like that. And that's why something to do with the grandmother going to market and she's a backpack or she's in a backpack on his back. So we're happy to reroll if you want, or if you can somehow figure out how to wield this information.
Yeah, that one doesn't really speak to me for Finnegan.
Ryan, so... do you want to try rolling a d12?
Yeah, sure. I will try rolling a d12. Let's see. I got a 3 that time.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see how this one goes. So number 3, suggested by previous guest Elise Basili. Hunt down a troll.
Absolutely. He's got to earn his name. He's got to earn the brave. He's heard people around town snickering behind his back about him being, you know, insisting on being called the brave. And now he's ready. He's got to go earn that name.
Okay. All right. So hunting down a troll. Ryan, how would that come about in a situation? So, you know, as Allison was saying, like, you know, he's been hearing the people talk about it behind his back. So we're imagining they live in some sort of forested, wooded, swampy, whatever sort of community where there's an abundance of trolls, or is there, you know, something to do with like trolls harassing horses on the road? And then that maybe that's why they're so busy all the time, you know, dealing with all these, you know, needs of horses to get their shoes repaired and their feet taken care of.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that. I think no kid likes to be thought of as less than, right? So if the people in the village are, you know, sort of snickering at him, like, you know, maybe they're mostly human, elf, sort of half elf population, and he's sort of the oddity around there. And he's sort of looking to make his mark and you know, not be treated like a kid anymore. I wonder if it's actually that there's like a legend of a troll out in the woods, and that there's not like anything actually wrong. Like maybe the village is sort of, you know, a sleepy backwoods, like not very exciting. But you know, they tell stories about the whispers in the woods. And so, you know, he's wanting to seek out the legend of the troll. And maybe there's a troll and maybe there's not a troll, but the more important thing is, can, you know, Finnegan figure out who he actually is? That sort of thing.
Okay. And yeah, definitely a dungeon master, game master could take this and then spin it however they want. Like, oh yes, there actually is a troll, you know, just camped out in the woods, or, oh, there's a bridge and there is a troll that lives under there, or the troll was inside of you all along.
Perfect.
Okay. So we have the question here then with reward, with success. So when the player characters, however it ends up being that they help, it sounds like the player characters are helping Finnegan the Brave go and hunt down a troll. So however that comes about and means their success, what is going to be the reward that Finnegan the Brave is going to then bestow upon the players for helping out in this side quest?
A bushel of apples and free horseshoe replacements for life.
Pretty good suggestion. Yeah, I mean, kid reward.
Yeah, well, and especially if the apples are like from these enchanted seeds, maybe the apples themselves, you know, have some sort of chance that they are enchanted too.
And then, you know, I was joking earlier about the whole beanstalk thing, but if you kind of co-opt that idea of, you know, oh, if you spill all the beans and then suddenly a bean sprout grows out, is it a possibility that if maybe perhaps you harvest the seeds carefully from these apples, that there's a chance, like maybe make a fun table, roll a couple D100s and see like what kind of fruit is born, or if like it's some sort of impossibly large apple tree or something like that grows into the clouds.
Yep. Love it. Love it.
Love it. That's great. Or maybe the trolls at the top of the beanstalk.
A troll at the top of the beanstalk. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cloud giants are just inviting trolls up now.
Yep.
Okay. And then the other side of the equation, you know, what's going to be the consequence of failure or refusing the call to the adventure? So Finnegan the Brave is coming out of his way to ask the player characters for help, but for whatever reason, they refuse. They say no, or maybe they try to go hunt down a troll, but something happens where the troll escapes. There is no troll to be found. You know, he's made to look like a fool, whatever it could be, but what's going to be the consequence of failure in that case?
I think he speaks with animals with their mounts and tells them just to create mischief for the adventurers while they're on the road, whether that's, you know, going the wrong direction, always stopping to snack on grass on the side of the road, you know, whatever a horse might have come into their mind when they're in a spicy mood and want to create some mischief.
That's great. That's funny. That's like my biggest fear too, because I am not a horse guy. Because, you know, it's an animal that outweighs me by 3 times and has a mind of its own. So the idea that like my mount would intentionally be trying to mess with me, that's terrible. Awful.
Yeah, and all it takes is one kick to the head and, you know, you could be dead.
That's true. Don't mess with the horses.
Yeah, that's why Finnegan is brave. I mean, I like to, in my head, I got an idea of like, he calls himself the Brave because like maybe there was a time where he was helping out his master and, you know, he's this apprentice and, you know, he just gets kicked like square in the face by a horse that's like spooked or startled. But then Finnegan just kind of like shakes it off and is like, oh, that was weird. And then everyone looks at him like, oh, I guess, yeah, you're made of rocks. So like horses walk on rocks and earth all the time. So that must feel like nothing to you or something.
That's great. He was the only one that was brave enough to reshoe that horse.
Oh, yeah. You don't talk about Maximus. He is the horse that cannot be wielded or can be brought to heel. And then he's just like, hi. And he goes up and like, whack, gets kicked. And then he's like, oh, that was weird. And then Maximus is like, oh, okay. And then everyone's astounded, like, oh, this kid like whispers to horses and he's made of rocks and earth. And wow, okay, all right. So maybe he is cool to have around.
Yeah.
Legendary.
I've definitely taught that kid who didn't have enough sense to stay away from the horse. And actually everything turned out okay. So
I think I've probably been that kid.
All right. And we have some optional questions that could yield some more interesting insights or information into our Finnegan the Brave that we've made here today. But if you feel like, you know, for this inaugural attempt of kaijuing a single NPC together, you know, we can head into the next section if you're ready.
I feel pretty good about it. Is there anything else?
No, I mean, I feel like as far as kaijuing a character goes, this kid's pretty great. I like this kid.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
All right. Well, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and head into a random encounter. This random encounter is brought to you by Zencastr. Now, ever since I've heard about Zencastr from Dane and Benjamin over at the Dispel Magic podcast, I've just been wildly impressed using this. It's what I've been able to get those podcasts recorded, and then I've been able to take the audio, get that edited, and get it out to you. It's so easy. It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. You log in using your browser, you start recording a high-quality podcast right away. You can record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings of the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. you can sound your best with Zencastr. Have you ever worried about what you might sound like? Why Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording, and it removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. And I have to say, I took the advice from Anson, one of our wealthy level Patreon supporters, and I decided to get one of the paid plans. So now I have access to these tools. And if you've noticed in the last couple of episodes, you really should be hearing those same qualities come through in the edit. It's all in one. So if you have thought about starting a podcast before and you're realizing that you need a lot of different tools and services, well, those days are done. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place, distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code SIDEKQPODCAST and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. So again, the code is SIDEKQPODCAST on the website, zencastr.com/pricing. Thank you so much to the sponsor, and back to the podcast. And there you go. We are now here in the random encounter section of the show. This is where we get to do a little bit of role play, a vignette, a scene with the NPC that we've made today. So since this is a first with a single NPC made by two guests, I don't know whether it's a dibs situation on who gets to necessarily be Finnegan the Brave, unless you're cool trading that back and forth. But the question becomes, what sort of scene would you like to present Finnegan the Brave in? So that way our audience can know the gist of the character, you know, breathe this life into Finnegan the Brave. So then that way, whoever the DM out there or player character out there needs just an endearing kid in their backstory, that we can have that essence of them to know and go off of. So, you know, it could be like, you know, Finnegan first arriving in the town. It could be, you know, Finnegan dealing with the townsfolk snickering at the pub. Or is it going to be Finnegan encountering one of the podcast adventurer characters and presenting the side quest to them to go on this troll hunt, as it were?
I think it's fun to have him encounter the adventurers.
Okay. Does that sound good with you, Mr. Ryan, to bring in one of the podcast characters to have Finnegan speak with them?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So we have a bit of a cast of characters. We could do just a singular one of the characters, or we just recently had an episode where it was me being two different NPC adventurer characters that was interacting with the character. So, well, I'll just go through the list real quick. So we've got Duncan. He's the adventurer for hire, happy-go-lucky, no feat too small, no task too daring sort of a guy. We've got Sonia. She's the warrior woman who multiclassed into a paladin who serves a god that wishes to redeem the undead. We have Korak. He's the lawful evil arcane trickster roguish dwarf. We have Chrisley, who's the herbalist, botanist, wood elf druid, who then multiclassed into a cleric who serves living memory. We have Orion, who is the astral elf illusionist wizard. And then we have Agape, who is the lilac-colored tiefling Sorlock. Started off as a Feywild magic sorcerer, and then recently made a Archfey warlock pact with one of the other NPCs created on this podcast. And if none of those characters sound good, then I am totally open to inventing a brand new character for the scene.
I think the druid, botanist, herbalist, that was all one person, right?
Yes.
Sounds like a good one.
Okay, so you would like to meet with Chrisley then?
Yeah, maybe. Do you want me to just like run with this?
As well, I mean, I certainly want to make sure that Ryan isn't left out. Is there maybe like some sort of other supporting character that he could be in the scene? Yeah, so if I'm supposed to be Chrisley, if Allison's going to be the voice of Finnegan the Brave, then who's Mr. Ryan going to be?
I would love to be the horse.
Oh, that's right, because Chrisley's a druid. Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay, so then who should start the scene? Who would you like to be the DM, me or Ryan or who?
You can go for it.
Where we last left our hero, Chrisley, she was finishing up with our other hero character, Duncan. She got called in on a mission with him to go seek out the Crescent's Edge, this fabled religious artifact that Duncan was on a charge, a mission for. Daisy, who appeared as a half-celestial, but was really a dragon. And so along the road, while they were doing that mission, Chrisley, you know, of course, stumbled upon Rembrandt, the young dragon that was seeking a lair to be able to house his growing ambitions of an art collection. And wow, Duncan and Chrisley, they had an epic adventure, and they were successful, and they parted ways, and Chrisley got her stuff, and she was like, you know what? I need to go, you know, the big city, it's been a lot. I need to go back. I need to go back to just the simpleness of the woods and get away from this city because these people are silly sometimes. And so it's not too long, you know, days of walking, and Chrisley, it has found herself in this idyllic town. And she is, of course, you know, taking in the sights, and then, you know, she looks out into the field. And what does she see Finnegan the Brave doing?
I think she sees him trying to calm down this horse that is agitated, and it's not going well for Finnegan.
So then Chrisley, being both a druid and a cleric, is going to come up. And for the purposes of this, just because I can't look up the rules right now, but for the purposes of the story, I'm just going to let it fly. She's going to be able to cast Speak with Animals, but she's going to do it for both herself and for Finnegan. And, you know, so she doesn't quite, you know, maybe she's approaching from the back, so she doesn't see, but she sees it's some sort of like creature or capable of speech. And so she comes up and she's like, whoa, easy, calm, peace. Hello. Can you understand me? Hello. My name is Chrisley. And who am I speaking with?
Whoa. And the horse whips around to see Chrisley there and immediately sort of puts himself between Chrisley and Finnegan. It says, oh, where did you come from? What is happening right now?
And Chrisley is like holding up her hands in like non-threatening, but she looks over at Finnegan. Kind of smiles and is just taken aback at the, you know, quote unquote oddity that she's seeing, you know, not normally seeing, an elemental, child. But she's like, hello, I'm Chrisley. You can, I know it's weird, but you can understand this horse now. Yes.
Hi, I'm Finnegan, the Brave. I'm very brave. And I work with these horses. I'm apprenticing to be a farrier. This is awesome. I've always wanted to talk to horses. People say it's like I can talk to horses, but now I actually can. Can you teach me how to do that?
If you have years, you know, she looks at herself being, you know, this elven figure. She's like, you know, it might only take you 20 years, but I can teach you the basics.
Oh, that's a long time. Well, maybe for now you can just help me understand what's wrong with this horse. I can't figure out why he's so upset.
Sure, of course. And then she'll address the horse and be like, now tell us what's the matter. What is the problem?
The horse sort of looks over at Finnegan and then looks back at Chrisley and sort of nudges Chrisley away a little bit, like tries to get Chrisley to walk a couple of steps away from Finnegan. And he tries to mutter, but he's a horse. And so like at full volume, he says, I'm just messing with him. I hate being cooped up in that stable all day. And so, I got him to bring me out here to this grass and it's so great, but, don't tell him that I'm messing with him. Okay. Tell him I got a problem. I'm a horse that needs to be outside.
So Chrisley just kind of gives a knowing look at Finnegan the Brave because he can also speak with animals. So he heard exactly all of that.
Well, Shadow, Yep, I'm naming the horse. You could have just told me that. I would have taken you out here anytime. Of course I want you to have a chance to be outside. It does get kind of cooped up in that stable, huh?
Shadow whips around again, just sort of like darting back and forth between both of them, and says, Oh, you weren't supposed to hear that, little one. I'm sorry. I know we should probably go back.
Nah, you got nothing to worry about. I'm a bit too big and heavy to ride you, but I can just take you for a walk if that sounds good to you.
I mean, it's fine. I just, okay. Okay, fine. I didn't ever think I'd have to say this to you, but I was just trying to get you out of the village for a little while, because I know how hard it is for you and all the rest of the townsfolk just, sort of laugh at you. It's not, I just wanted you to get out here. I'm sorry for lying to you. Or not. Because we couldn't talk before, but tricking you, I guess, or something.
Wow, that is so nice. Have you ever heard a nicer horse before? And he gestures to the druid, pointing at the horse. Well, great. I'll play along. Let's stay out here. We'll play a little while longer. Maybe we can play tag. Do you want to play with us? He says to the druid.
She's kind of taken aback, but it's like she's like 100 years younger or something like that when she's being asked, and she's like, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, if you wanted to take a walk about, you know, if you wanted, you know, Shadow to, you know, stretch his legs and run, you know, and she gives the horse a druid sort of look, like, you know, oh, you think you're fast? You know, I am a druid. I could just as easily, you know, like turn into some sort of beast and, you know, race or something like that. Kind of a attitude. And hearing Shadow's words about, like, oh, being made fun of and stuff like that, she's more concerned now. And you see her eyes flashing a bunch of different colors as she pulls open this grimoire to her side. And it, you know, there's all these flashing images that are happening in the book. And she, you know, will get on Finnegan's level and will just say, forgive me. I've never encountered an individual like you before. Finnegan the Brave, eh? And she gets like a little more serious. Can you tell me why the other villagers are being mean to you?
Oh, I wish I knew. I think it's because I told them my name is Finnegan the Brave, but don't tell anyone, but it's really just Finnegan Floppleby. I didn't want them to make fun of my last name, and I thought it sounded really cool to say the Brave, and but now they kind of say, oh, he's not so brave. So I don't know. I got to prove it to them that I'm really brave.
Oh, prove it? Are you sure about that? You don't think that they would just take your word for it? You know, she's coming from like a woad, an elven sort of community. So she has like this whole different perspective on what she thinks, you know, earning respect comes with. So it's kind of like an alien concept to her of like, oh, I have to like go out and prove I'm brave in like some sort of dangerous fashion or something like that.
Well, I'm kind of new here and I'm just learning to be a farrier and, you know, I'm a kid. So sometimes grownups aren't so nice to kids and don't really think that we can do a whole lot. So I don't know if you have any ideas, I'm willing to try them.
She'll turn to Shadow and be like, well, you know, certainly there are many of things that, well, mortals, humans, but she looks at present company and is like, well, you are not a human. I don't know. Shadow, you seem to have been a long resident of this community. What is something that you think that would help Finnegan the Brave earn his name?
Well, there's the troll. You could do something about that troll.
Oh, the troll that they talk about in the tavern when they think all the kids have gone to bed?
Oh, yeah. They've been talking about that troll for years.
Well, that would certainly be brave. And he kind of, his eyes kind of drift off to the side and he kind of hunches his shoulders and looks very timid and unsure.
Oh, well, yeah, if you want some help, I'm certainly more than happy to go with you. She will, you know, with one hand produce like a druid craft sort of effect. And then in her other hand, she'll manifest some sort of like cleric based power. And she'll, you know, very seriously say, like, I am certainly more than capable of providing you necessary backup to help you earn your name.
Whoa, you know a lot of stuff. That's amazing. Yeah, I think I could do it if I had some help.
Do you think this is a good idea, Shadow, that this will impress the town?
I think it's a terrible idea. Trolls sound really scary. And I mean, I've never seen one, and I've never heard one. And I mean, I think all the townsfolk are just sort of mean, and it doesn't matter. I don't know. But but you made it so that I can talk to this one, to the little one. So, I guess if we gotta.
Chrisley smiles knowingly, and she says, all right, well, it's been a while now since I've been out in the world away from my woad and having to learn the ways of adventure. And, young one, I think it's time that we took you on an adventure. So she stands up, she collects herself, dusts herself off, and she says, you have all you need. And then she turns to look at Shadow and she says, come on now. We need our trusty steed, don't we? And she winks over at Finnegan.
Yeah, we've got all we need, I think.
The horse throws his mane back in a very like grandiose gesture and says,
I am a noble steed. That's true. Yeah, we got it. We got this little one. Let's go for it.
And scene. I think that's a pretty good place to end it. So what did you think it was like getting to be Finnegan the Brave, Shadow the Horse, and kind of like breathe a life into this character that we just cobbled together?
It was very fun. I liked getting into his headspace.
I like the idea that he's got this horse companion. I don't think the horse's name is actually Shadow. I think that that's just what Finnegan calls him. I like the idea that they're friends. They're buds.
What's the horse's true name?
Chrisley would be able to find this out for sure.
let's go with Roan, like R-O-A-N, like the color.
Perfect.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, so, you know, thank you so much, both of you, for fighting continental divides and time zones and all these other things and technology to both be on this podcast at the same time, you know, making this wonderful NPC and side quest all together. So this part of the show, it's called Final Thoughts. So I always like to, you know, take a moment in this part near the end of the show to just, you know, collect your feedback and to, you know, how did you think your time was on the podcast, you know, critiques, feedback, and all that sort of kind of stuff. Just, you know, giving you a chance now that you're through it the other side, you know, how are you feeling?
It was really fun. I like the format that you have and allowing guests to be creative, but having kind of a structure to work within. I think the only difficulty was the delay and talking over each other, or having no one talking because we couldn't see each other, but not much to be done about that.
I really love Kaijuing a character. I think it was, I was not expecting, having listened to the podcast before, I'm like, okay, what character am I going to make? And like Allison and I talked a little bit about like characters based on us or on things that we were interested in, but putting a character together was, I don't know, that's really fun. We should do things like that more often.
I know. I was trying to think of how, like, oh, maybe for season two of the Kids Table, we can make the NPCs together. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like it.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm certainly appreciative and loving to hear from you, Ryan, that like, oh, I've listened to the show. And so I always like, you know, and hope that people are listening and that they're taking these NPCs and putting them in their game. Not that I, you know, expect it or force it of my guests to do so, but you know, I would love to you know, be able to listen to the Kids Table and one day hear like Finnegan the Brave, hey, I know that NPC, and then like, hey, it's my boy we made on this podcast, kind of a thing.
Love
that's
it.
Awesome
for sure.
I think it's a great idea because, you know, DMs are always looking for more NPCs and thinking outside the box. And it's a great way to kind of flesh out the world and make it feel more alive and layered.
And I hope that this podcast has done its service and provided, you know, at this point now, over 120 different NPCs, or somewhere around that number, of different NPCs that you could be sticking in your game. So hopefully Finnegan the Brave will be landing in another game of yours, you know, for the kids table or for whichever table.
Sounds great.
All right. Just to make sure I give everyone their dues and their opportunities. So with the final closing moments of the podcast, I like to leave the stage, the microphone, the soapbox, the platform, the what's a who's it over to both of my guests to give you this opportunity, this time to be able to plug, you know, social medias. Where can we find y'all? Where can we stay connected? Where can we listen and tune in? And all that good stuff. And then any other passions or causes that we need to be made aware of, please let us know.
Sure, I can tell you where to find us. Our video campaign episodes are on YouTube, and you can search at the kids table DND, the letter D, the letter N, the letter D. You can search the same name on Instagram to find our short form video clips and also our video tips for playing D&D with kids. And then if you prefer listening to a podcast, maybe on those long family road trips or just waiting in the car line to pick up your kids, we're on any platform where you can get podcasts, also at the kids table D&D. And that's where you can get our currently our episodes and soon to be our podcast that's talking about the benefits of D&D with kids and more tips and to get over hurdles for playing, bringing kids to your own table.
And to close out, I'd say Allison and I are both very passionate about kids and bringing kids into the conversation and making sure that they are treated as full people in their own right. So whatever kids you have in your lives, whatever kids may or may not be at your table, we would encourage you to find ways, find entry points, find ways to structure around them, give them that voice, and give them the ability to tell their own story.
Thank you both so much for being guests on the podcast. I can't wait to have you back on to make even more interesting NPCs.
Thanks, Kurt.
For sure. Thank you so much, Kurt.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sidekicks and SideQuests. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast through Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Overcast, or feel free to save the RSS feed to use the app of your choice. If you don't like using podcast apps and services, I'm proud to announce that I'm in the process of uploading the podcast to our very own dedicated YouTube channel, which you can find by searching for Sidekicks and SideQuests. All future episodes should automatically publish to our YouTube channel. Visit our website, sidekicksandsidequests.com, for links, write-ups of the NPCs, and to learn more about the show and the guests who have been on it. To stay up to date and interact via social media, you can follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and the corresponding threads, Twitter, now rebranded X, and Reddit by searching for SideKQ Podcast. You can now also find a very tiny community on Discord as well. I would love to talk D&D and showcase your fan art, stories of how you used our NPCs, discussions, and commentary. If you'd like to hail the bard, simply send me an email at sidekicksandsidequests@gmail.com. To help this show be the resource it's meant to be, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes, 5 stars if you please, to help spread the word and share our podcast with your friends and family. Whether you're a veteran player or an aspiring dungeon master, there's something here for everyone, and I want to hear about it. As mentioned in the NPC creation section of the show, I do in fact have a Patreon for the podcast. If you love this podcast and you want to help support us and take our show to the next level, I would appreciate it if you would go to patreon.com/sidekicksandsidequests. No matter your lifestyle expenses, we have wonderful rewards at every level of Patreon membership tier. Modest, comfortable, wealthy, and aristocratic accommodations await, and we welcome all patrons to the Levitating Platter, Seriously, your financial support allows for this passion project to continue to invest in itself through the tools that will take our production to the next level, as well as provide more content for our patrons and the community at large. Please consider supporting me on Patreon if you can.
Sidekicks and Sidequests is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy, meaning I'm not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast.
Copyright Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Thank you for your support, and I'll see you at the pub next time.
Bar to rock on 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4! Psychics and psychos.